Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear part one of what I just preached the other day at Island, and it is Holy Communion the right way. I've preached this before. I make it my aim every couple years to keep on preaching it because it's that important that there's a right way, a correct way, a biblical way, and a wrong way to partake of the Lord's Supper. And the consequences, well, Paul said, for those that take it irreverently, like this group was in Corinth, he said, many are weak, many are sick, that's S-I-C-K, sick, the sick kind of sick. For those that think that all sickness comes from the devil, think twice, friend. Taking communion irreverently in the wrong way. Many are weak, many are sick, and many have died. There's a correct way to take communion. That's what we're going to be looking at here today, Tuesday and Wednesday. If you'd like a copy of that, write to me, Paul at WGODradio.com. Download my app, WGOD Radio. You'll see it in there. It's under the tab, Various Bible Teaching on the app. So download the app, WGOD Radio. Download the, you'll see a tab on there that says Various Bible Teaching. Click on that, and it's right there on top, Holy Communion the right way. Right on, right below that, you'll see the murder of John the Baptist that you heard on the radio maybe last week. Or my Easter sermon on the road to Emmaus. It's a whole bunch of great stuff here. If you love the Word of God like I do, then I pray you'll be super energized by hearing these sermons. Because the Word of God, see, it's not me, but I know the secret. And I share it with you, and that is the Word of God is living. Quick, it says in the King James, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God changes lives and sets people on fire for God. Believe me, what he's done for me, he wants to do the same for you. God's no respecter of persons. Sit under and listen to the Word of God. Let it energize you from the inside out. Okay, I'll use this opening too on Wednesday. If it's Wednesday and you're hearing this, you can come by church tonight. 6 o'clock. We'd love to see you. We're in the Gospel of Luke, having an excellent time in the Gospel of Luke. Love to see you here today, Tuesday and Wednesday, Holy Communion, the right way. The Lord's Supper. I like to preach this every couple of years. What better time to preach and teach on Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, than this week when we partake of it, right? Now, the Lord's Supper is one of two ordinances of the church that we Baptists recognize. The other, of course, is baptism, naturally. Both of these we are instructed to do perpetually. That's what's known as the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're going to have a baptism here coming up in a couple of weeks. So if anyone is interested, let me know. Or and also in becoming a new member of the church, let me know if you're interested in that. But we will be having a couple baptisms here. It's crucial for us to understand how communion is and is not to be observed. So this passage here today is going to be a thorough look on this subject. I'll never forget the day, this has been about 15 years ago now, that my late wife and I visited a church in Melbourne. And prior to the start of the service, I felt this tap on my shoulder. And much to my surprise, was a basket loaded with communion in it heading my way from the rear of the church. And people were scarfing it down, kind of like the way I eat M&M's. Or popcorn, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, throw it up in the air and try to catch it, you know. all the other irreverent things you might do at home. And the music leader, I think he was the trombone player, haphazardly presiding over it, he goes, "Eat, eat. Remind me of the Rudolph movie, remember? Eat, Santa, eat." Or some old school Italian lady, "Eat, eat. It's a Princess Spaghetti Day," or something around here. That was the second maddest I ever was at church. All right, now, of course, you want to know, what was the maddest I've ever been at church? I went to a church in Cocoa once, and for Easter, the offering, they had these plastic Easter bunnies that they used for their offering plates to pass them around. That probably was the maddest I've ever been at church. I think I was at the new tire dealership the next, and there's probably still, you think the Donut King is bad out here? That's irreverent to do that. Easter is not about bunnies and rabbits. It's about the Son of God dying on the cross for you in your place. Anyway, now that church in Melbourne, you see, was being stylish. And they didn't want to offend any people there with what they considered to be a bunch of old religious stuff. So they made Holy Communion hip. And Paul here today, in this passage we're about to look at and get into, is saying you better be careful for how you take communion. Because communion is not a bunch of old religious stuff. Neither is it hip. It's sacred. And it's holy. Because although the method might be different in the sinful way in which it was taken back in this day, which we're about to look at, compared to us today, the warning remains the same. We're not going to take communion the way that they did back then, but the warning remains the same, and the warning is this. It's on the handout. Irreverence towards God brings judgment. Irreverence towards God brings judgment. Now we're going to look at 5 points here today regarding communion on the handout. Number one, if you're writing, number one, you fill in that blank there, the rebuke. The rebuke. Verse 17. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Paul says, "Now, given these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." All right, Paul rebuked the way the Corinthians took communion. This was more like unholy communion or coming together for the worse, meaning you're worse off at the end than you were when you started. Now, he says that, not me. Now, verse 2 of the same chapter, he praises them. He said, "I praise you, brothers, because you remember me in all things, and you hold fast the traditions as I handed down to you." But here, in dealing with the Lord's Supper, he declares in no uncertain terms, "I do not praise you." Verse 17, "Now, when given these instructions, I do not praise you, since they're seeing you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Now, like that church in Melbourne I mentioned earlier, this is coming together for the worse. You see, they ought to not take communion at all than to take it irreverently. Because irreverence towards God brings judgment. Open up your Bible and read it. Good people were irreverent towards God sometimes. God says, "All those that approach me must regard me as holy." God is holy. We have to approach him that way. See, the thing is, we don't see the judgment of God anymore like they did back then. in the first days of the church. However, as we're going to see in this text, just because you might not see it, it doesn't necessarily mean that God does not hold people accountable for their actions, because he does. Neither does it mean that God has mellowed out over time, because he hasn't. All right, point number one was the rebuke. Paul rebuked the way the Corinthians were celebrating communion. Point number two, the corruption, or the corruption of the Lord's Supper. Verses 18 through 22. All right, here's where they went wrong. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry, another is drunk. Look what he says in verse 22. What? In other words, Esposito vernacular, are you out of your mind? Don't you realize that God is holy and he must be approached that way? He says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? Then he says, I do not praise you. Okay, there are two words I want to focus on. Verse 18 and 19. The first is the word division. The second is the word sect, S-E-C-T, or faction. Two different Greek words. The word for division is the word schism. Sect or faction, depending on what your translation has. Sect, believe it or not, is the word heresy. Like it reads in the King James Version. Heresy. Heresy means this, and I find this definition fascinating. Heresy can mean a divergent opinion, but still part of the whole. One can hold a different view than the majority and remain in the same body, but he is a heretic. Now, with that knowledge, let me read again verses 18 and 19. It says, for first of all, when you come together in church, I hear there are schisms or divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must be heresies among you so that... Look at the reason why there's heretics in the church. Listen to what he says. There must be heresies among you so that those who are approved may be made manifest. I used to get so mad at the owner of the radio station, Ray, when he was alive. He would let heretics remain on the air. And I say, Lord, Ray, why do you do this? And he said, it's in the Bible. And I never get it. But now I understand it. God lets heretics on the radio so that you will know the real McCoy. You'll know the genuine preacher from hearing the heretic. God uses the heretic to refine his church. That's just how he chooses to do it. He expects you to know the difference between the real one and the false one. Why are there heresies? In order that those who are approved may become recognized. What an astounding statement that is. Why, oh, why is there heretics in the church of Jesus Christ? Why doesn't God just remove them, I think? Why doesn't he just smite all the counterfeits? No. Listen to this parable here. Well, answer in order to make plain and clear those who are truly preaching and teaching the truth. I want to read this parable to hear. This Matthew 13, 24. The Lord speaking. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man sowing good seed in his field. But while the men were sleeping, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. All right, a tare looks exactly like a wheat. And you can't tell them apart until they're like full grown, and then you can tell them apart. And I've heard that once you spot one, you never forget what it looks like. And then they'll stick out like a sore thumb once you can identify what a tare looks like. But when it's first growing, it looks just like a wheat. And he's given this parable. He is the one that sows the good seed. Listen to what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like a man sowing good seed in his field. But while the men were sleeping, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now when the stalk had sprouted and produced fruit, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the master of the house approached and said to him, "Sir, was this not good seed you sowed in your field? From where then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Do you wish then that we should go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest gathering up the tares you uproot the wheat with them." Then the Lord proceeded to make this statement, verse 30. He said, "Leave both to grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather together the wheat into my barn." But there's only one problem in that, and that is if you don't know the word of God, then you won't know who the real heretic is or who the real tare is, planted by the devil to lead you astray. See, Jesus is telling you that there are heretics inside the church, and they're there to get you, to help you to know and understand who is the real McCoy. And you can always spot them out by what someone believes about Jesus and what they teach about him. Okay, let me move on. Heretics are part of God's plan. Now, we're just going through this verse by verse. That's why I bring this up. We're looking at this whole passage here. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34. Also, God uses heretics to purge the church. I would say, of those that don't have faith. Now, I know that's a hard saying. But let me get back on point here. Now we're looking at the corruption of the Lord's Supper, verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. All right. Wow, is he sore at these people, isn't he? Have you ever heard him so angry in everything he's written? Have you ever seen such a text as this? All right. Now, here's where they went wrong. We have to have a better understanding of how they took communion there to see where they went wrong. They didn't just pass around the grape juice thimbles that they bought at ChristianBookDistributors.com. They had full-fledged feasts. See, this is what they did. This is what they did in Corinth. This is like our church starts at 10:30. Okay, for everyone here today, all of you guys that put something in the offering plate, all you to-do people, this week we're going to meet at 9:30. Because we don't want to share what we had with those poor people that come in later. So we'll come in at 9:30. And our communion is going to be New York Strip. And it's going to be whatever else you want to think of. Lasagna and Chateau Mouton Rothschild, 1953. Oh, wait a minute. This is the year 30. All right. Mouton Rothschild, the year 28. And this is what their communion was. They sat around eating all this food and drinking and getting drunk. And then when poor people came in, they had nothing.
And they thought this was communion. And wow, did this make Paul mad. Treating other people, treating people different in the church. This is why he's so mad. And this is why we're going to read what happened to these guys for doing this and treating people different in the church. There's a right way and a wrong way to take communion. And these guys, apparently, as we're about to read, were doing it the wrong way. Verse 22, he says, what? Or we could say, are you stinking, are you crazy? Don't you remember what happened to those when they tried to move the ark of God and one of them reached out and touched it and a lightning bolt comes down and kills the guy and he's down here on the ground? He wasn't even trying to do anything wrong. And God said, all those that approach me must regard me as holy. God is a holy God. You must approach him that way. Even if it's good-natured what you do, even if it's good-natured, God is holy. You have to approach him that way. You have to. No sinner can stand in his presence. You need surgery to stand in the presence of God. And thank God he's done it for us. Okay, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and disgrace those who do not have? What shall I say? Shall I praise you in this? No, I do not praise you. All right, that brings us to point number three. Point number three, the real meaning of the Lord's Supper. The real meaning of the Lord's Supper, verse 23. This is the verses you'll hear me read every month at the end of the month, starting now. For I received from the Lord. Notice how important it is. He shows you where he got it from. He didn't read it in a textbook. He didn't read it in a history book. Paul received direct revelation from Jesus Christ on how you are to do communion. He said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, during the night in which he was betrayed, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, during the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And having given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You don't take communion flipping around a basket around every the place, telling people to take and eat willy-nilly. This is a holy thing. We're remembering what Jesus did by dying in our place on the cross. It's a serious thing. Not one to be done irreverently. He says, do this in remembrance of me. I wrote in my Bibles here this morning. Just the Lord's words. Jesus, remember me. That's his word to us today. Remember me. That's what he wants you to know. Remember me. Remember me today. Remember what I did on the cross. Remember that God loves you so much. Romans 5 and 8. God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember me. That's what this is about. That's what he says. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Some translations say New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Then he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what Holy Communion is.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Far away, and in my troubled time.